Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. Hey, Dan, show number 239, buddy. Pull up a stool. How you doing?
Good. I've been waiting for 239. It's finally here.
It's a special show, right?
Right.
Every show's special, Dan. Exactly. To me and you, that's about it.
Right. They're all our children.
Absolutely. So how you doing this morning, my good buddy?
Good. Weather's nice up here. Spring's coming. We're heading in the right direction.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait. Last night it was light here almost till 6 o'clock.
I know. I've been noticing that, and that makes me feel good.
Don't you hate those that streak when it's freezing cold and it's dark? It's like you just feel like so miserable.
Yeah, no motivation. You don't want to do anything. You just want to pretty much eat dinner and go to bed, you know?
If it wasn't for getting a couple Disney gift cards for Christmas, it would be a whole the whole winter. Let me just get through it. I hate it.
Yeah, the dark months. But, yeah, we're starting to get on the other side of it, though. I mean, we'll be zipping through February here fairly soon and on to March, and that's a swing month. So we'll see what happens.
I can't wait. So you excited tonight about Walt Disney World at Disneyland 60th anniversary?
Yeah, I've been seeing them. They've been promoting that pretty good. I know that, you know, with the Star Wars movie release, they've been pumping that up. And I guess, what's his name there? The guy that's in Indiana Jones.
Come on, you could do it. You're like my work wife, too. My wife makes me finish her sentences.
I have no idea.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, the guy that crashed his plane there a couple months ago. Yeah, I guess he's going to, you know, narrate some of it, or at least that's what I saw. So, yeah, that should be a good show for Disney fans tonight.
What I'm excited about is from what I'm hearing, and I could from some of the titbits, Derek Hough, the guy from Dancing with the Stars, is hosting it, you know. Which I know nothing about him, even though I watch that show with my wife. You know, I get brownie points for that, Dan.
I wouldn't know. What did you say? Dan Hough? If he stuck his head in my window, I would shut the window on him and say, get out of my house.
But anyway. No, you wouldn't. He's a
yes,
nice guy.
Yes, I would. Don't know who he is.
Anyway, as you interrupted me so rudely.
Oh, you never do that to me.
No, order us a couple drinks while I finish my thought. Okay. But anyway, no, from what I'm hearing, rumors of some of the shows that he's been on, there might be some kind of showing of the new Star Wars land, what it's going to be about. And if they're showing that there, it might give us some clues of what's going to be coming into the studios.
Yeah.
So that could be exciting.
Yeah, for the theme park fans.
Yeah.
What's the premise of the show, though? I mean, what is it, just like the State of the Union of Disney?
Yeah, kind of. Well, it's celebrating 60 years at Disneyland. It's their diamond anniversary, so they're doing a whole show. There's going to be the people from Dancing with the Stars are going to be there. But the whole thing is at Disneyland. So, you get just seeing Disneyland makes me think of Disney. You know what I mean? It just gives me my theme park geekdom.
Right, and some of the Star Wars attractions, I'm assuming, are going to be on both coasts, so that would make sense that if they do release some tidbits, by default, we're going to get Disney World news.
Exactly, and then I think there might even be some tidbits on the next Star Wars trilogy, you know, the next film in the trilogy.
Yeah, that makes sense. They kind of tease the next movie, right?
Yeah, so I'm excited about it, and like I said, don't tell anybody, but I do watch that Dance with the Stars with my wife.
Yeah.
It's horrible watching girls dance around in cute outfits. It puts me through heck for a couple hours, but I suck it up. I'm a team player.
Somebody got to do it, right?
Exactly. So what else? Anything else new, buddy?
As far as news down at our park, Disney World. Yeah, let's see here. We knew this was coming. Toy Story Mania closing for one-day refurbishment as part of the track expansion. One of the studio's most popular rides will be closed mid-March as they work on the third track expansion as it nears completion. This is going to be good that they're going to, have more capacity to take guests. And let's see, it plans to be open in summer of 2016, so they don't really give a hard date. But I mean, it's just, what, a couple of months and it should be back open, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're only closing it for one day on March 15th. It's just going to
Right.
go down for one day, which that would be my luck. It would be the day I had the fast pass for
Yeah,
it,
yeah.
and it would be closed.
I was just trying to think of, what possibly could be that they just need one day, but that just seems like way too short a time. But I don't know.
Well, they probably have everything else built, but probably what they have to do, they probably have to tie something in to the other ride.
Right,
And they
right.
need that day to close down the system to reboot it.
Yeah, I mean
You know,
that might.
it's probably a power. I'm thinking it's a power kind of deal. They might need one day for electrical. And then after that electrical day is done, then they could start testing the ride cars. You understand what I'm saying? But they probably need one day to shut that building down to do the power. The
Right.
power, that's what I'm thinking.
Right. Yeah, just I think if you need a day, you'd think a day, 2 days, just gets those wrong. Oh, it must be fairly fine or whatever it is if they say in a day.
Yeah, like I said, they probably have all the mechanicals, everything hooked up, blah blah blah, and they just need to tie everything in and test it and make sure everything there's probably making sure there's no overload. But if it was my bet, it would be something electrical. That's just me, but that's what I'm thinking. It's something to do with the electrical that the whole source has to be shut down. OSHA regulations.
Yeah, that'd just be interesting though for people. I wonder if this date was known like 60 days ago and you weren't able to book fast passes on that date, or if this date just kind of firmed up fairly recently. And if so, then did they have to send out emails or however communications to the guests that had booked Toy Story Mania for that day that it's going to be closed?
Yeah, probably they just found out, and some poor people are going to lose their fast pass that day.
That would be a bummer, if especially if it was your first time going,
Oh, absolutely. It bummed me out. It bums me out now. I do that every trip. It's one of my.
Right.
Well, it's just because it's for me very competitive, and she gets me. Like, play that words with friends like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we play. Well, I have to let you beat me.
Okay.
But we play that all the time, and she kicks the you know what out of me, kicks the stuffing out of me.
Right.
But I play like it's something we do together. It's funny. I feel like the two teenage kids. We're laying in bed playing words with friends with each other,
Right.
and it's the two teenage, the boy and the girl that are sitting next to each other in the same house. They'll text each other instead of talking. That's what me and Brenda look like playing words with friends. She kicks my butt every time. And I tease her. I say, well, I set you up because I go first. And she always get a double letter, the double words, the triple letters. I get none of that crap,
Right.
man.
You're spelling dog and cat, right?
No, but even when I spell like I'll spell a 5 or 6 letter word, it just always seems like 15 points.
Right.
And she'll spell often it's 72,
Right.
because she's the triple letter. Or she does good. She's good at the game.
Right.
But it's like I miss out all the time. But I tease her and say I set her up, and that makes her so mad.
Oh,
But we're
okay.
competitive, and that's one of the things I like of Toy Story. I don't mind beating her. I
Right.
enjoy beating her
Right.
on that game. It's like, because she get we play. We're competitive against each other. I think it's a good thing. Don't let each other win at anything.
That's good. I mean, that is, you're right, that attraction certainly does bring out competitiveness. Even somebody that's rather docile, I've seen people come to it, and once you get pulling on that string there, there's no turning back.
Absolutely. I just love ride. I know I love more than you. I know you like it, but
It's
it's
all
one of
right.
those things where if you don't go on it, it's not going to mess you up for that trip.
Right.
So, what's up next, Bart?
Let's see here. What do we got here? Next Generation Nighttime Show, Star Wars, A Galactic Spectacular opens this summer at Disney's Hollywood Studios. A Next Generation edition of current Symphony in the Stars fireworks show will debut summer 2016 at the studios. Titled Star Wars, A Galactic Spectacular, the show will use fireworks, lasers, projections, and special effects to create the ultimate Star Wars nighttime show. Let's see here. They did a press release earlier in the week through the state-of-the-art special effect. The project onto the nearby will project, excuse me, onto the nearby Chinese Theater and other surrounding buildings. Guests will gaze at Twin Suns Tatooine, push through a field of battle droids, navigate through an asteroid field, soar down the trench of the Death Star, and deliver the final blow to destroy Starkiller Base. The show, which will unfold through a series of acts, will be punctuated by the Tower of Ire, as well as powerful spotlight beams that create lightsabers in the sky. It is interesting to note from the concept of the off-center presentation of fireworks, this fits with the position of the new out-of-the-park fireworks launch site currently being built across World Drive, which does not line up exactly with Hollywood Boulevard. And that's kind of interesting. Wasn't aware of that.
No.
What do you think of this whole show?
I think I love it. I think I'll look forward to seeing it. But I don't think it'll ever be Illuminations to me. But to the Star Wars fans, this will be the Illuminations. And any new show is I'm on board with. You know, I don't get fucked duddy about it. Like everybody get. Remember, like how up in arms everybody got with the whole Avatar land. I still don't understand why everybody was mad about that.
Right.
I mean, did that ever make sense to you?
Especially when you know, and it still holds true that nobody's seen anything yet. So at least wait till you go on the stuff once, see it once, and then complain. Even though I might agree with it, I would respect your opinion at that point. But to complain 3 years before they even put a shovel in the ground didn't seem to. I don't know. It didn't make sense to me.
I mean, everybody now everybody had the opinion. Why was this? Why wasn't that? Why not just enjoy what it is?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they're giving you something.
Exactly. And you got to think back at that time. I mean, that was before they purged Star Wars and all that stuff. So a lot has changed since then. I think that if Disney already had Star Wars in their park at that time, it would have been different. I think that they thought that that was it. Once they committed to Avatar, that it negated them purchasing Marvel and Star Wars and all that stuff. So I think that, you know, they thought that was the big play and that was going to be it. Like I said, if all these other franchises were already in the Disney stable, I don't think people would have been near as negative towards it.
No, I agree and disagree with you. I think if they would have already owned Star Wars, I think they would have started the Star Wars deal even before Avatar. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, or, you know, quite possibly, and we'll never know. They might have never done Avatar. We'll never know, but...
Exactly. So I'm kind of myself, I don't think they would have done Avatar if they already owned Star Wars and Marvel.
Right.
So I'm kind of glad that it worked out this way because now I get all three.
Exactly.
It made them create more.
Right. I mean, but, you know, let's face it.
I'm sorry. No, I think you'd still have Camp Minnie Mickey back there if they'd owned Star Wars.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Or I think they would have expanded Animal Kingdom in some way, whether they added, another country or, you know, another part of Africa, I guess I should say. You know, it might not have been, you know, a new franchise per se, but I still think they would have recognized that, you know, the Animal Kingdom needed a shot in the arm and they would have done something. What? Well, I don't know, but...
Exactly. I mean, I think you're right. I just think they would have, I could be wrong, but I think all the stuff would have started on Star Wars first, and I don't think we'd even be building River Lights and Avatar Land at the time that it is right now. I think it would have probably been after Star Wars. I think Star Wars would have been started immediately.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm kind of glad it happened this way myself, because I'm glad that River of Lights is coming in. So while everybody's over there having great times with Star Wars, which I'll go see it. I'm looking forward to it. But I'm more looking forward to River of Lights and Avatar Land than I am Star Wars Land.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, like you said,
I'm happy for all of it.
Exactly. It's going to give so many more options.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to probably lessen the crowds at Epcot. I mean, you know, where, you know, Illuminations, in my view, is the biggest draw. That and Wishes. I mean, it's hard to battle against the Magic Kingdom. I mean, that's very popular, too. But I think what it'll do is just disperse the crowds evenly across all four parks, and it ought to make for a, better viewing for, you know, whatever one you happen to go to, because they're all going to be extremely popular.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, and to segue into something else real quick, I know you read it, and we won't have to get in the whole article, but did you see Florida broke 2015, the all-time record for tourism?
Yeah, Epcot, I think, was it specifically Epcot or Florida? Yeah, announced it at, it announced at Epcot, Florida sets the record. Okay, right, there's millions of people going down to Disney World, as we knew anyways, but it's kind of official now that the governor acknowledged that all these people are coming down to his state to spend money.
Exactly. It's a pretty easy job when you have all the people coming to the 2015 record by walking 105 million visitors in 2015. The earlier record was 98.5 million in 2014.
Yeah, they broke it by a considerable amount. And, it just goes to show you how, you know, people are still saying the economy's a little sluggish, but at least in the travel industry in Florida, it's booming, and that's a good thing because it's exciting, a lot of jobs, a lot of construction, a lot going on, and it's just a happening place right now.
Yeah, they say the tourist industry employs 1.2 million people down there in Florida just
Yeah.
for tourism. That's a pretty big number.
Oh yeah, when you think about it, everywhere from the airport, on to Disney World and Universal, and all the other parks that are there. And as we see, there's a lot of other hotel franchises that are building resorts and hotels and restaurants in and around Disney. I mean, it's the trickle down, if you will, not just Disney itself, but just all the other businesses that are associated with having those theme parks there. It's just tremendous for the economy.
Yeah, one negative comes into that too.
Uh-oh.
Everybody, when you're driving on I-4, please be careful and pay attention because you don't drive on it every day. It's not your local highway. But do you know that is always comes up in the top couple roads in the United States as the most dangerous road in the world?
Yeah, you had mentioned that a couple shows ago, and doesn't surprise me. And then you got I know we covered this too, but even if they know where they're going, people on their cell phones texting and looking at Google Map or whatever they're doing on their phone, that in itself is more dangerous than drinking and driving. It's
Absolutely.
horrible. I mean, it's not just there. I'm sure you see it every day when you're on the roads, but
Oh, absolutely.
that is something terrible.
Just be careful because what happens is especially there, that's why it makes it the most dangerous, is you got 1.5 million people coming and probably or 1. Well, 105 million people, whatever it was. And if half of them are renting a car, they're driving a car, first of all, that they don't drive every day. Second of all, you're driving on a road that you're normally not on, so you're not familiar with it. You're more paying attention to what exit you need to get off than the cars around you.
Right.
So, and you're probably sluggish, either jet lagged or tired from driving, 16, 15, 18, whatever hours you are. So please, guys, when you're on I-4, please be extra careful. And you don't want to ruin your vacation or anybody else's by not paying attention.
Yeah, I
So.
mean, actually, it's as many accidents and stuff that there are. It's surprising there's not more when you think about it. Like you
Yeah.
said, with all those international drivers, and like we said, the people from England and those countries that drive on the other side of the road. I mean, they can still rent a car, and I couldn't imagine going over to England and just hopping in a rental car and driving on the opposite side of the road. I
Yeah,
don't.
hop it in a Porsche and go to
Yeah.
Germany and hop on the Autobahn.
I don't think I could do it. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? You'd have to
Yeah.
think about it so much. I'd be afraid to do it, I think.
It's just like in Bermuda. Like everybody that I know that goes to Bermuda, I'd say one out of every five trips that I hear of,
Yeah.
somebody comes back that one of their friends or somebody they knew crashed on one of the mopeds.
Right.
Because they all rent them scooters when they get there. It's like you feel bad, but you don't ride one every day.
Right.
You get people on these things that never, they can barely ride a bicycle and they're scooting around Bermuda on a scooter. Like, I know my wife went on her high school trip there, my buddy Bill, and all I heard about is how many people wiped out on the scooters.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It takes a while to kind of get your balance down, and what the turning radius is on those things. And
Yep.
yeah, it take you're right. You almost should do some training first. Well, like I made the point a few shows ago, it's the same thing with the watercraft down there at Disney. It still blows my mind that they just all you got to do is show up and give them $30, and here you go. Here's the keys. You
Yep.
know, and you could have zero, you could have never driven a boat in your life, and they give you very little instruction, and they just trust that you'll figure it out.
Absolutely, it's crazy. Next thing you know, the Boston Whaler guy's coming to save you.
Yeah. I mean,
So.
you'd almost think that, the lawyers are, they just, I probably shouldn't say this. I hope they don't hear me and shut it down. But you just think it'd be a huge liability, and they wouldn't allow it. But they've done it for years, and apparently there's not too many issues because they continue to offer the watercraft.
Well, apparently, more people are worried about going out on the boats that don't know what they're doing than they're worried about people getting on the boats that don't know what they're
Right.
doing.
Yeah, that's true too.
So,
Yeah,
what's
let's see.
next,
Yeah, what
buddy?
else we got here?
Just be careful on I-4, everybody.
Right. New Star Wars stage show is coming to Disney Hollywood Studios this spring, according to the Disney Parks blog. Star Wars, A Galaxy Far, Far Away is an all-new live stage show that celebrates iconic moments from the Star Wars saga with live vignettes, featuring popular Star Wars characters such as Kylo Ren, Chewbacca, Darth Vader, and Darth Maul. The show will take place multiple times each day at the center stage near the Great Movie Ride. At various times each day, the menacing Captain Phasma will lead a squad of First Order stormtroopers as they march in formation from Star Wars Launch Bay to the center stage area in an intimidating demonstration of the First Order's indomitable strength. The new show begins on April 4th, so that's just a few weeks away, or what, 8 weeks or so?
Yeah, right around the corner.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to all this stuff. It'll be interesting. At the very least, it'll take crowds away from my junk.
Right. Yeah, no, but I think I will be excited to see all this stuff for the first time because, you know, it's just going to be something so new and foreign to us. And like I've always said, regardless of the franchise, you know, even if, well, maybe not. I was going to say, even if it was Indiana Jones themed, I'd be excited, but I don't know, maybe not. But yeah,
all those new rides, like if they opened up the new Indiana Jones ride, the one like dinosaurs here,
yeah,
I'd be thrilled to death.
Yeah,
with something like that. But you know, I'm not going to watch another stage show.
Right.
But the Star Wars stuff, I think what I like about the Star Wars stuff, if you love Star Wars or not, it's still going to be that music does get to you. Dun, 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 dun. I mean, there is some driving theme behind it,
oh, yeah,
which I think will be very exciting if that makes sense to you.
Well, I think the fact that, you know, you and I are a good example of this, you know, Star Wars isn't a franchise that we necessarily love, but I think we know enough about it. And like we've said, we've seen the movies at least once or twice over our lifetimes, but we can be casual fans, if you will, but still look forward to it. Whereas, you know, if it was one of the other franchises, we might be, you know, literally booking a trip around these openings. We'd be so
excited.
So this is just kind of, well, it's there. I'm going to see it. I'm going to enjoy it, but you know, I'm not geeking out over it.
Like I'm going to totally geek out when they start Toy Story Land. Because
right.
I'm a Toy Story – I love that movie. I've
right.
watched every one of them multiple times. And they're my childhood, all them toys.
Yep.
So I'm, like, so super excited to that part of the park opening.
Exactly.
You
but
know,
yeah.
Slinky Dog is on my living list.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that to open.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of not funny, but – you know, we haven't really heard a whole lot about the, you know, the other land. Star Wars is certainly dominating the news. And, well, I think partly because, you know, the film just came out
yep.
and, you know, they're on a roll with that stuff. But hopefully we'll start to hear some Toy Story Land news in the near future.
I'm hoping a Toy Story 4 is around the corner.
Yeah, there you go. Didn't they already make 4 when they're going on 5, or they only make 3?
No, they 3.
Yeah.
3.
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's see here. Exciting stuff. So finally, some of the final touches are being installed on the orange parking garage down at the Disney Springs. They've, I guess, started to put up these artificial plants that'll go over the whole exterior shell of the building. The pictures I'm looking at, it looks pretty good. Although they fooled me. I thought they were actually real, but reading through the story here, they're actually artificial. So if you're going down to Disney Springs, you're going to see some sprucing up of the orange parking garage.
Yeah, they put green flowers for the orange garage. So maybe they'll put orange flowers for the green garage. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Maybe they should add a little bit of orange to it to make you know it's the orange garage.
Right. Yeah, the whole outside is all green by what I'm looking at. Not even the plants, but there's some green, I don't know, some sort of fabric or something on the exterior. But it does look pretty nice, you know, planting palm trees and some vegetation in and around the median strips and stuff. So, yeah, it's looking pretty
nice.
Well,
it softens it up, you know. I mean, it don't look like a concrete jungle, and I'm sure that's what they're trying to do, soften
right.
the facade up a little bit. It's like you go to Atlantic City, all the casino hotels, but their garages are just concrete fortresses.
Right. Yeah.
Nothing special. It's a little Disney difference.
There you go. Making it look good. Let's see here. Yeah, even before we actually got the dates for Flower and Garden, they did announce the dates for this year's 2016 Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. Let's see, this is the 21st festival that will begin on September 14th and run through November 14th, which is a 2 week longer run than it was last year, with a total of 62 days in all. So here we go. We creep closer and closer to the spring and Flowering Garden, I guess.
Yeah, all they have to do is create Summerfest, and you can have it from November, I mean through the fall, skip Christmas, then Flower and Garden comes, and then Summerfest, and back to food and wine. You'll have 3 out of the 4 months, 3 out of the 4 seasons of the year you could have festivals there.
Yeah, I mean we're kidding, but we're somewhat
Tongue in
serious
cheek,
here.
tongue in cheek, buddy. I wouldn't be surprised if a Summerfest comes out of somewhere.
Yeah, or they'll just combine all the festivals and come up with one name and just say, here it is, like Epcot's Food Festival, and it just runs throughout the year,
I mean, I don't, I think there's more of a chance of it happening than not sooner or later, something going on during the summer.
Right. Yeah, I mean, those festivals are real popular, and I mean, Food and Wine was the, was the first and the most popular, but now that they've added the food items to Flower and Garden, that's beginning to increase in popularity. So, I could see them doing it, and the fact they keep extending the dates for both festivals, it's got to be making money, and people seem to like it. So, yeah, it doesn't cost $3 billion to, like an E attraction. So, for the cost of putting up the,
Yeah, they already own the
marketplaces.
kiosks. They already own them. Just putting them
Right.
out there.
They'd just be storing them if they weren't using them. And I think a couple of them they even keep out year round now and they repurpose them for other things. So they don't even have to move some of them.
I wonder if the only reason they don't do it in summer is because maybe the food would spoil faster with that intense heat.
Yeah. I mean, it could be. I
I
mean,
mean,
but
I
it's
mean, that's
so
the only thing
bloody.
I could think of.
Yeah, it's so bloody hot in Florida most of the time anyways. I mean, if you think about it, they sell ice cream and all that stuff, and I think they got it down to a science as far as keeping stuff somewhat chilled for the stuff that needs to be. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Personally, though, I mean, as much as I'd love that, and I say I would love it, I'd be kind of sad because it is a, at least the way I view it, it's a special time of year for me when fall rolls around, and I know as particularly Food and Wine is getting ready to kick off. It would take some of the uniqueness away, I think, if it was just there, all year, or even if it was there 9 months a year or something. I don't know. It just kind of take away the specialness of it.
Yeah, the only difference is Flower and Garden has the topiaries, Food and Wine has the chefs and the cooking classes and all that, where Flower and Garden does have all the, it still has all the Home Depot and stuff like that. So if they could come up with a theme, I'm sure they'll end up doing it.
Yeah, right. And they both have a a version of Eat to the Beat, and what is
Yeah.
it, the Summer Concert Series, I think, or
Yes.
something like that for Flower and Garden. So those that thing is kind of duplicated, and it's the same. And Flower and Garden, we what do we call it, like Food and Wine Light when it first started. But if they add booths as the years go on, they'll slowly but surely catch up to the amount of offerings that Food and Wine has.
It's coming sooner than later.
Well, like I said, it's not necessarily a bad thing, and
Let's see. I'm in.
yeah, I mean, hey, some people can only go to Disney World at a certain time of year, and they miss the festivals for, whether it's work commitment or something, they just can't get time off at that time of year. So I'm sure there's a whole bunch of folks who would love to see it extended or
Especially
offered at other
teachers.
times of the year.
Especially teachers.
Yeah.
People like that have to work, that aren't off most of the times, when you want to be there. The thing of it is with me is it I like the idea of the kiosks because it gives you more good food options if you and you don't have to do as many sit down meals. When you're doing food and wine, you're not even thinking about the restaurant you're eating at as much as you are eating around the world. Am I wrong?
No, on Epcot days, I mean, we know we're going to be noshing around the world, so we don't even think about an ADR. To me, it'd be wasteful to, pick all the way around the world and then, you know, sit down and have a big meal. It'd be overkill, in my view, anyway.
That's what I'm saying. So if you're down there in the summertime and they have some of these extra kiosks out, it would be nice just to be able to grab some good offerings, you know, some more good options instead of having to do counter service. It gives you more times to roam the park instead of wasting it on a meal if you want to explore more, you know what I mean? And you're eating something besides a hot dog or a hamburger.
Yeah, and like, you know, our good buddy John Peters, he's found some offerings even without it being, you know, any of the festivals. So,
yeah,
you know, that strategy can be enacted even, you know, if the festival isn't going on. There's all these great offerings at the countries and little booths and restaurants that you can, like you called it, food and wine without it being food and wine.
Yeah, he said that's where he got the idea. He goes, he never really sat back and thought about it until he was listening to us. But that's what I'm saying. It would just add to the extra offerings how great Epcot already is. You know, it's so nice grabbing something good off a cart that is sit-down quality, if you know what I mean. It just, you feel like you found something special. So.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to eat chicken nuggets or burgers or stuff like that if I can help it when I'm down there. I'd rather get something that's, you know, a little exotic or at least something that I can't.
Something you can't get every day.
At my local, you know, fast food place or whatever.
Absolutely. Something you can't get every day. That's what's special about it.
Absolutely.
What's next, brother?
Yeah, let's see here. The Rivers of Light choreographer posted a first look at the show logo and attraction poster. Alki Mahanti, one of the lead creatives on the upcoming Rivers of Light show at Disney's Animal Kingdom, has posted a first look at the show's logo and artwork poster on Instagram. The poster shows two elephants along with the lotus flower, which appears to be the centerpiece of the show. Yeah, we saw this early on when they first, that first artist rendering that we saw, and this is just, I guess, a more elaborate a view of it, but it, yeah, it looks pretty awesome with all the animals and the, what do you call it?
The lasers.
Strobe lights and laser lights. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. And, you know, this thing's coming quickly. It doesn't seem possible that it's been, 18 months when they first announced this? And it seemed like, you know, it would never be here. And here we are upon the summer of this awesome new show coming on, you know, being live, I guess.
Yeah, our buddy Aaron, who's going down in a couple weeks, he's going down in March, and there's been rumblings of some soft openings. He's hoping to be able to see it. I'm hoping to be able to see it because he's coming on to do a trip report with us when he gets back. So it would be awesome if he got to see it. Because
yeah,
we all know that John will end up reporting on it for us if he don't.
Right. Yeah, John would gladly do that. And I'm sure he's excited to see it as well. So I'm sure he'd do it for us. And you know,
I just want to see somebody else have fun instead of John for a change. You know what I'm saying, Dan?
Right, yeah. This is a one-way street lately with him. He's getting all the fun part of doing the podcast, right?
Yes. He deserves it, though. Yeah, but we need to get down there, brother.
Yep. Let's see what else here. Yeah, Google Maps Street View of Walt Disney World coming soon, and this is kind of asked in the form of a question. It looks like Google Maps Street View will be coming to Walt Disney World. Various sightings of the Google Trekker, Trekker, walking through the parks have been reported on Twitter, both at Epcot and at Animal Kingdom. Similar to the version that is mounted to vehicles for providing street view along roads, the man-mounted Trekker takes street view to places where driving through is not possible.
Yeah, I see this coming as I was telling you off-air before that I tried to order brochures for Walt Disney World for to hand out to our customers and all, and then I can't order them no more. I went to the Disney collateral store. They have Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney. They have everything else but Walt Disney World. And I found that funny because remember I gave you the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which is really cool to have, and I hand them out to the kids. And you know, when you were a kid, you used to love looking at Disney brochures like that. And so one thing led to another, so I called them and said, where are they at? And the girl goes, we're no longer just sending out regular ones. You've got to order ones specific and download it. It's a whole rigmarole. So, and this reminds me of eventually with my Disney experience and everything else, I have a funny feeling within the next few years, there's no longer going to be park maps. Your park map's going to be your smartphone.
Yeah, I think we're heading that way. And 5 years ago, when all this did my Disney experience came online, there was a lot of talk, and rightfully so, that it's really unfair to the people that are at that age where they're not, technology savvy, I guess. The older folks that are used to doing things with pen and paper, or whatever. Unfortunately, the what is that game? Where you run around and everybody sits in a chair, and
Duck, duck, goose, goose.
there you go. It's kind of like that. It was going to happen to some generation of people, I guess, that maybe don't have smartphones or aren't into,
Yeah,
iPads and
my
all that
brother,
stuff.
Tomater.
Yeah, exactly. So, unfortunately, but what I was going to, the point I was making is, 5 years ago we said, well, there needs to be a transition, because, there's going to be people that just don't understand or don't use a travel agent, and they need, tactile maps and paperwork in their hands in order to, maneuver around a Disney vacation, all the way from your reservation to your, even the fast passes now, as we know, you don't get the paper ones like we used to. So I think your point is absolutely on point, in that 5 years from now, I think, it's not going to be optional. And by what you just said with the, the park maps at the agency, I think you're going to see that. I mean, I have no idea, but just think of the, I don't know, millions, if that's the right word. All those park maps every day that you see the cast members putting them out by the handful, and people throw them away, and you see them all around the park, and people throw them in their backpacks. They must go through millions of them a year, I'm
Oh,
assuming.
absolutely.
It's got to be crazy amount of money, and to store them and to have them printed up, and they change, what, every week they put one out, I think, when the
Depending
The
on
park
park
hours
openings,
change.
times, hours, absolutely they have
Yeah.
to. And it's sad though. I mean, in a way, because some of my happiest times is when and you get them. Our buddy John Peters or is down there for food and wine or whatever. When he's there, he'll send us the maps and the food and wine. And I have a feeling all this is going to go away within a few years. Not
Yeah.
just that, I think it's all going to. Everything's going to be on your smartphone.
I think you're right. And again, of course, we're picking on Disney because we're a Disney podcast, but a lot of other companies are doing that too, with the green movement and all this stuff. I mean, it's at least, as far as the corporate people look at it, it's fiscally responsible, and it's, save the trees and save the rainforest, and all that stuff ties together. And we know Disney has a big affiliate. I mean, they were one of the first companies. I remember years ago, I'm sure you remember this, Doug, when you went in your resort room, they were the first ones I ever saw that had a recycling can in the room, remember?
Absolutely, Jimmy the Cricket.
Yeah, I
Also
mean,
telling
that
you to,
was like cutting edge stuff back then,
I remember Jimmy the Cricket telling you to put your towels away so they can be
Yep.
dry and conserve water. And yeah, I remember all that at Riverside. I remember the recycling and all that.
Yeah,
You're
I mean,
right.
they were doing it, 10 years before not anyone else, but any major company. That, I stayed at a few other hotels, around the country, and I had never seen anything like that. I thought it was pretty cool, I didn't even really understand what it was till I, read the little brochure there. And now it's kind of a shame if you don't do that. But yeah, I think it is going to go that way. And it kind of, we went through it as kids. Think about it like this, Doug. I mean, when I was a kid, we had, records. You would go to the store and buy a record, and you would get the
Well,
nice,
the vinyl is back in again now.
I was going to say that. It's come around full circle. But I mean, we, at least I did. I went through the records, then we went to cassette tapes, then we went to
Well,
CDs.
you skipped
Now
eight tracks. You
we have
skipped
an
eight
iTunes
tracks.
account, which is kind of in the cloud, where we own our, or at least I do, I own my music, but I don't have it. I can't hold it in my hand, if you know what I
No.
mean.
Well, I don't like that either. Like, but you skipped over eight tracks.
Oh yeah, yes, 8 tracks too.
It was vinyl, then eight tracks, then
Yeah,
cassettes, then
right.
CDs. But the one
Yeah,
thing I don't
it's a
like
good
about all
point.
this.
I just had this conversation with somebody at work the other day. It was similar to this one we're having, and she pointed out to me that the albums have come back. They do produce a certain amount of, or most groups or singers or whatever. I mean, it's at a huge upcharge. I think she was saying, like, I forget which band it was, Green Day, or I don't know, somebody like that. it was like $35, but you could get the actual LP album that has, you know, like the thing I used to like you'd have the pullouts with the concerts and the lyrics, the yeah. songs, and I don't know, it was just nice to have a collection, you know,
it was
by
kinda
the
like
stereo
a book.
System where you could not only hear the music, but you could look through the album jacket cover and all that stuff. But, you know, for the most part, that's all gone away. You know, like I said, in lieu of these huge online iTunes or whatever music service you use library.
Yeah, it was kind of like a book
right,
that you
right.
opened up. You own the hard copy of it. The thing I don't like is, then, is the whole, how can I put it? Like, I own my own, when I buy video games.
Yeah.
And what bothers me when I buy video games is if you buy them electronically from the PlayStation Store, what'll happen is you own it digitally. But when I'm tired of that game, when I used to have the CDs, I could trade them in.
Yeah, do you get $5 or $10 or profit?
Sometimes, like Madden or one of them, if you're over it real quick, you can get $25-$30 for trade in.
And then you can put it towards something else.
Yes,
right? But
when you buy it electronically, you can't do that.
Right.
That's one of the sad parts, and it's the same thing with all this stuff from iTunes and all, like you were saying, at least we owned the tapes and the CDs or whatever. You could, you felt like you could put them out of the yard sale and sell them for a buck.
Right. I mean, I remember having this, like, leather case for my 8-track tapes. It was huge.
I remember I had one myself.
Yeah. And it was, you know, but again, it was kind of nice. And I think for a while they just didn't, you know, the industry didn't know it was going, because I remember buying like CDs even before, I'm talking movies now, but like before Blu-rays came out and stuff. And they used to give you like, you'd get a copy of the movie, you'd get an online copy, and there was a third version. It was something else. Like, they were given, you know, you'd only pay once, it didn't really matter, but you had three or four or two or three different ways that you could watch the movie, and I think they've kind of got away from
alternative endings and stuff like that.
They don't do that anymore?
No, I said they do alternative endings and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, but not so much the movie itself, but I guess how you watch the movie. Like, if you want, you could, like, download it from the cloud so you could watch it on your iPad or whatever, or you could just take the physical CD and throw it in your DVD player or your Blu-ray player.
No, I hear you.
I don't know. It's just kind of weird the way that all kind of happened. But to get back to the, you know, your point, I do think that, yeah, you're not going to have park maps or festival guides or... I mean, all that stuff is online now. I mean, you really don't need the, you know, like the little booklets you were mentioning that, you know, John has got the last couple of years. I mean, you can find that online. It may not be easy or easy to kind of manipulate it on your smartphone now because it's so small.
But I'm sure Google Maps is going to control, it's going to solve that.
What's that?
I said, I'm sure Google Maps is probably going to solve that.
Yeah.
So that
they get an answer for everything.
Exactly.
But anyways, it, you know, whether we like it or not, it's going to change. I mean, I remember having to rebuy, well, not having to, but I chose to, I guess, you know, when the 8-tracks went away and the cassette tapes come out, I mean, I had to repurchase all my favorite, you know, music in order to have it in that format, because, you know, all the cassette players were in the cars now, and if you wanted to hear your music, you had to buy it again, right?
Absolutely.
How many times have you bought the same music over the years, you know, whatever your favorite band is, you know, you probably bought the same record or whatever you want to call it three or four or five times, I bet.
Yeah, well, I bought all my favorites in at least three times. Once I had the album, then it was the CDs, and then I repurchased it for the iPhone.
Right, so you have it electronically now.
Some of them I did download, though, through the computer for my iPhone,
right.
And then download it in the iTunes store. So I did do that, but the days of the park maps and the brochures and all that are going to all be E. Everything's going to be E-ticket. E-this, E-electronic, everything.
I think you're right. And, you know, and there's good and bad in that. I mean, I do really enjoy, I mean, my last trip, I enjoyed a night going on my iPad, going on to my Disney Experience, and seeing what we had for fast passes the next day, what times they were, what we had for ADRs as far as where we were eating, and your whole day was in a nice little tidy page there. I mean, I personally, I like that because I'm a planner, and you know, I see value in that. But I could see where somebody that's not really, you know, maybe they don't have an iPad or they're not interested in
Well,
that.
like Grandmom and Grandpa, when they come in to book their Disney trip for their grandchildren. That's
Right.
the problem.
Right. But like I was saying, eventually that's going to go away because they're going to move on or they'll be too old to travel to Florida, you know what I mean? And then everybody will be on board. There's going to be that probably 10-year period where unfortunately some people are going to be left out.
Absolutely. Well, no more park maps in a couple years, I would say. What's up next, my friend?
Let's see. Yeah, just Typhoon Lagoon's annual refurbishment was extended by a week. Nothing, no big news there. It's just if you're traveling to Disney World in late March, you may want to. It was originally planned to reopen on March 13th. It'll be open up on the 20th now. So I guess if you were planning on going to Typhoon Lagoon during the 13th to the 20th,
head to Blizzard Beach. Head
check your park map.
Yeah, head to Blizzard Beach. Absolutely.
Let's see here. New meet and greets announced for Disney's Hollywood Studios. Let's see here. Disney announced today two new character meet and greet experiences. Opening spring 2016 is Celebrity Spotlight, where guests will first be able to meet Olaf from Frozen. The entrance will be on Echo Lake, just across from Star Tours. So opening in the spring will be Mickey and Minnie starring in Red Carpet Dreams, with an entry off Commissary Lane near the Sci-Fi Diner. According to Disney Parks blog, you'll walk the red carpet and step into a scene with Minnie where she appears as a Tinseltown starlet in a ritzy setting straight out of a lush and colorful musical extravaganza. Nearby, you will find Mickey portraying his iconic role of the Sorcerer's Apprentice from Fantasia. The new space will use parts of the former American Idol audition rooms, the radio studio, and the old Sony corporate lounge. Mickey and Minnie were previously displaced from their locations in the former animation building, now the home of Star Wars Launch Bay. Mickey currently meets in a temporary location in the old Captain Jack Sparrow building, and Minnie appears in the animation courtyard. So look for these changes this spring over at the studios as far as meet and greets.
No, they're changing meet and greets out constantly, aren't they?
Yeah, they seem to be keeping it fresh. I mean, I really haven't kept up on it. Has Olaf been available for meet and greet? I don't even know.
I mean, I could be wrong. I thought he was over in Epcot for a while.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but.
But anyways, you'll be able to see him at the studio starting on the 16th. Imagine how long that line's going to be.
Yeah, I'm going to be in it. I told my wife, this is the year of the character autographs for me. I mean, pictures.
There you go. Get them while you can.
Yeah, maybe. Why I still look so handsome.
All right, Symphony in the Stars fireworks now scheduled to through the at least the end of April. Disney has updated the operating hours calendar, and the new Symphony in the Stars fireworks show is now listed through the end of April 2016. Show times may vary: 8 p.m. shows for 8 p.m. closings, 8:30 for 8:30 closings, 9:15 or 9:30 shows for 9:30 or 9:45 shows. And 9:45 shows for 10 p.m. closing. So if you were bummed that you weren't going to get to see this, it looks like it's going to be extended at least another through the end of April, so you may be able to check that show out.
And speaking of Star Wars, did you see all the renderings from the Disneyland at 60 show?
Yeah, I briefly looked through them. I didn't look at them in any depth, but yeah, they look pretty cool, I guess.
The show was awesome, and it showed you there's going to be a lounge and restaurants and bars. There's going to be a whole area like, you know, Main Street USA, but for Star Wars merchandise. And it's going to look like it's going to look like this city where, you know, Star Wars. It's going to have all kind of shops, and it really looks cool. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, so it's going to be a totally immersive experience.
Yeah, total environment. You're going to be completely in a land with stores and shops and restaurants. You're going to feel like you're in the marketplace of Star Wars, is the way it looks to me.
So it'll be like Harambe Village, only it'll be Star Wars.
Exactly. Just like it. You're good comparison.
Yeah.
But they did a good job, and happy birthday, Disneyland, and Walt, you did a great job, and that's where it all started. And even though Disney World is our home, Disneyland is where, you know what I mean, it was nice. They showed the the lamp, how it stays lit all the time. They showed that again, which I've seen that before, but it kind of got me choked up, you know, just seeing that, the way they were talking about him. It was a really nice little spot that they put in there.
I can say firsthand, as much as it chokes you up watching it on TV, you'll lose it when you're actually there, because when you're standing on the, you know, the same spot that Walt probably walked a million times over the years, and you look at that lamp, it freaking takes your breath away.
It does. Like, I've seen it, I've read it, I've seen that his place multiple times. I've seen the lamp, but every time I see it, you know, it kind of touches you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you're right. It was his little park, and
yeah,
you know,
that's how he let everybody know he was watching them.
Yeah, there's a lot of sentimental value to the Disneyland experience. That's why, like I always say, I mean, obviously, Walt Disney World blows Disneyland away for just all that it has to offer, and it's so much bigger and all that good stuff. But as far as a quaintness and, you know, tying back to the original, you know, Walt Disney and his dreams and his, you know, park that even his own brother didn't want to build because, you know, they thought it was stupid and seedy and, you know, it was a waste of money, but he persevered and pushed through, and, you know, look at what we have now all over the world. Disney is a beloved company, and the characters and all that. So you're right, Doug. It all started at Disneyland, and it was nice that they, you know, recognized the 60th anniversary of Disneyland.
The thing that blows me away about the whole thing, because being in the business, that he built that whole park in a year and a day.
Yeah.
It's amazing with the machinery that they had back then.
Yeah, horse and carriage and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean they had power. They had tractors and stuff like that, but they were nowhere near like it is now. Like,
I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was Admiral Joe Fowler that actually helped him, you know, kind of ran the show there.
Yep, he also ran Disney World.
Exactly. So he was a smart guy. But, and I mean, we all, not to reminisce, but the we remember hearing the stories that, you know, they were laying hot top and the women with their high heels
was stinking into it.
Into the hot top because, you know, they had the
well, it was one of the hottest days of the year too.
Yeah.
That's what it was too, because it wasn't completely dry, and then you had all that heat, so it wouldn't allow it to dry.
Right, and Ronald Reagan was there and all that.
Oh, kissing.
They had all the cables down Main Street, because at the time there was no wireless and all that, so you had these huge thick cables for the you know, the cameras and the microphones and all that stuff, and it was just crazy that, you know, it came off on TV a lot better than it actually was, at least from what I've read.
Oh yeah, people turned away because there were so many millions of people there. It was ridiculous.
Oh yeah, they said people would jump in the fence, like they invited, you know, 20,000 people, and like, you know, 320,000 showed up. You know, it was crazy. But
thank God they did it, because we wouldn't have what we have now.
Exactly. It was definitely worth it. Let's see here. Toy Story Mania closing for one day refurbishment as part of the third track expansion. Yeah, I guess they're going to take down the attraction for one day. Which day is it? I should know that. Again, I'm saying it. Yeah, on March 15th, if you're in the studios, and you have a fast pass for Toy Story Midway Mania, you may want to go on My Disney Experience and choose something else, because it is going to be closed for that day so that they can do some sort of, I don't know what they're doing, retrofit.
I think it's something to do with electrical, because that's usually what shuts a building down. I think it's something to do with probably wiring and getting everything synced up so they both run together. And it's probably the only way that they could shut the other ride down to boot up the new one, if you follow me. They might have to tie everything into the computers and the electrical system, and then they could shut it back down and split them again, if you follow me. It's something like that. And our good buddy Aaron's going to be there during that time. So, Aaron, if you have fast passes for the 15th, change them out.
Yeah. Anyways, at least it's only a day.
Yeah. It would be my day, the only studio's day, because who plans more than one studio day at this point?
Now nobody.
Exactly.
In the future, that may change.
Yeah, it'll be multiple days.
Let's see here. Next Generation nighttime show, Star Wars, A Galactic Spectacular, opens this summer at Disney's Hollywood Studios. titled Star Wars, A Galactic Spectacular, the show will use fireworks, lasers, projections, and special effects to create the ultimate Star Wars nighttime show. Through these state-of-the-art special effects, the project onto the it'll project onto the nearby Chinese theater and other surrounding buildings. Guests will gaze at the twin suns of Tatooine, push through the field of battle droids, navigate through an asteroid field, soar down the trench of the Death Star, and deliver the final blow to destroy Starkiller Base. The show, which will unfold through a series of acts, will be punctuated by the Tower of Fire, as well as a powerful spotlight beams that create lightsabers in the sky.
This is going to be nonstop from here on out after watching that Disneyland thing. It's going to be like every week there's going to be a new Star Wars announcement, it seems like. But this sounds really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this artist rendering, and, you know, they're showing the projections on the Chinese man's theater, and you know, Darth Vader is over to the left. I mean, it is, you know, it really looks like instead of Hollywood Studios, it's Star Wars land, literally, you know. And it'll be interesting to see how much of the actual footprint of the, you know, Star Wars themed stuff takes up, and, you know, how much, how big the area is going to be. I mean, they told us in square footage what it would be for Toy Story Land, but I wonder if it's going to be, you know, representatively, you know, similar in size, I guess, scope.
Yeah, I think Star Wars Land's going to be a little bit bigger, but I don't think much.
Right.
So, but I'm, like I've said a million times, I'm looking more forward to Toy Story Land. Right now, I'm looking more forward to River of Lights and Avatar Land than anything else myself. I can't wait to see River of Lights. So, but it's all good, dude. Every time you turn around, there's another announcement. It's like, I can't believe the undertaking they've been taking on these parks.
Yeah, it's all good. Like you said, anything new is good.
Yeah, I'm no bah humbug on any of that stuff.
Absolutely. Let's see. Yeah, that's pretty much going to do it, unless you had something.
Yeah, the only thing I had then is it. On the Disney Parks blog, it says, pack your running shoes and hit the New Balance running trails at Walt Disney World Resort. As we continue to look at ways to maintain your healthy, active lifestyle while on vacation at Walt Disney World Resort, you're going to want to make sure you pack your running shoes and walking shoes and experience the New Balance running trails. The new running trails are some of the more popular trails, included along Seven Seasons Lagoon through tree-lined trails of Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort, Disney's Wilderness Lodge, around Disney Boardwalk, Disney's Yacht and Beach Club. And there's 16 miles worth of new trails, running and walking trails. So I think that's a really good thing, because me and Brenda, we're never going to go running at Walt Disney World unless when we move down there, because Brenda runs on the treadmill and runs here. But on vacation, I'm not going running. I'm sorry, but...
Right.
A nice romantic walk on these trails at night, and if they give you extra viewing spots or photo spots, I'm in.
Right.
That's what I'm looking forward to with this.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we were saying off air, I think the fact that you'll be able to have access to areas where you probably didn't before, or at least you didn't feel comfortable just strolling into the woods, you now will be able to, you know, see some of these areas, and might offer you different vantage points to some of the resorts or other areas of property that you've never seen before.
Exactly, and there's nothing like a nice stroll on a beautiful night at Walt Disney World, especially if you're there when nights or parks are closing early or something like that. You can have another. It gives you another option of things to do, and there's never enough options. You never can do everything, but it's always nice to have extra options.
Right. Yeah, you never run out of anything to do, and like you said, our living list is getting longer and longer, but that's okay. It'll just keep us going back for years to come. So
Absolutely. Look at John. He's lived down there all these years, and he's still not even done everything.
Right. He's still discovering stuff, you know, and he's, what, an hour away or whatever. He's pretty close.
Born and raised in Florida and had annual passes for years now, and he still hasn't done everything, so.
Yeah, and the only thing I would add, Doug, is, and I forgot to mention it, but they did release the full menus for Flower and Garden, but we'll save that for another show. And
we'll get our buddy John Peters on. Yeah.
Or something, and we'll go over that in depth with you.
Yeah, I called him John Peters again. We have Bobble. We always, coming up now, we have John Peters over at Epcot.
Right.
Which John, he went over to Epcot. He did a review for us at Sunshine Seasons and reviewed a couple things, so we're going to head over to him now. You got anything else, then?
No, that's going
to
do it.
We will catch you guys next week, and we will talk to you soon. Please go over to Facebook and Twitter and follow us at Oak Manor and Grumpy67 and WDW Main Street, and please leave us a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it, and have a wonderful week, guys. Hello, everybody. We're joined by John Peters. We got a little special segment, our buddy Beer Solos at Epcot again. You poor baby get to spend another day at Disney World.
You know, I somehow got talked into it again. Believe it or not, here I am.
And, that arm really seems twisted.
Yeah, it's terrible, terrible.
You're living the life, my friend.
So, John figured what he would do today is, being he was going to be there, where are you at right now, Sunshine Seasons?
I am sitting in Sunshine Seasons, and there's one other group of people sitting in here with me, and that's it. Do you believe it?
Wow.
I do believe it. I did call that. I don't speak out when I'm right. I barely ever pump my chest out. But did I not say that Sunshine Season would be the place to eat with that being closed?
Yeah. Yep, you had it.
I mean, it's amazing how barren it is in there now, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got some pictures that I can I'll post up later that you can see. And they were taking it like 10:40. So, you know, it wasn't first after they opened. It was so. Yeah, you can definitely tell.
Backfire on you though, Doug. There'll be so few people in there, they'll close it for lack of business.
You know, I mean, if there was more places to eat counter service at the front of the park, I'd probably agree with you, because I think if Sunshine Season closed, nobody would go in the Electric Umbrella.
yeah, you're right. You'd have to.
I'd be eating at Starbucks, buddy. Starbucks would be the place to go for me then. I'd be eating a muffin.
There you go.
But. So what's going on, John? How barren is inside there? I mean, the Circle of Life movie's closed now. Soarin's closed. Is anybody even going on the land?
Yeah, there's about a 5-minute wait now. It's what, almost 11 o'clock, and there's about a 5-minute wait for it. We rode that already this morning with no wait. So, and there's a couple of people getting maybe an early lunch and stuff like that, but. Yeah, and actually it's starting to smell really, really good in here, so we may have to hit some lunch afterwards. So.
Yeah, well, you'll have to. That place has some of the best food on property, in my opinion, as far as counter service.
Absolutely.
With all the different options.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, and we haven't eaten here in a while. So.
So when you were on Living with the Land, John, were you picking out your salad and your greenery for your salad that you're gonna have?
I take a cucumber from there and a couple of cherry tomatoes from there. So
have you noticed anything going on with Soren? What does it look like over there? What do they have up to block you out?
Let me take a look. Really, there's just all they have sitting in front of it is, you know, the tripod that says Soren will reopen its gates summer 2016, and that would be it, and the doors are closed. But
now, is there anything to show that there's an outside exit entrance going to be coming in? Is there anything showing where the second one's going to fit into? Are they adding on to that building?
You can see the construction on the second building, but as far as an entrance and stuff, you know, a new entrance, that's not going to happen. I talked to a cast member, and she was actually agreeing with me and my wife at about how necessary and nice that would be, but no, there's no plans on any other entrance, so it's still going to be the same mad dash over here in the morning, so...
Well, hopefully they need to put in another set of escalators, another up and down. I mean, tell me those stairs and the escalators. I mean, I think they're dangerous with how crowded they are.
It's terrible. It seems like they would be overloaded in the morning, really, you know? So.
Well, this is certainly a scoop if, you know, what that cast member said to you is accurate, which, you know, we have no reason to believe they would give you erroneous information, then this is confirmation that there isn't going to be significant change to the queue for Soarin. So this is fairly big news.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe that they're not going to try to upgrade that entrance area. Well, maybe they will do something to the queue, but it will be the same one. Hopefully they add something besides staring at them stupid walls.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and actually she said, since summer 2016, we talked to the cast member, she said June-ish. So, you know, hopefully, the earlier they can get it done, we're going to be out here on our vacation first week of June. So I doubt it, but you never know. Maybe they'll have a soft opening that week and we'll be able to run over and do it real quick. So.
Well, I would believe they're going to hold pretty tight to the projected reopen date, because as we know, with Mission Space not the draw that it should be, that park is going to be hurting for a an e-attraction to take all these guests in. So I would think that, you know, whatever date they project it to be done, I would think they're going to do everything they can to open up on or before that date even. So maybe you will get to see it in June, John.
Yeah.
Well, especially with the summer months. I mean,
yeah.
The good thing is I'll definitely get to see it, because we're either going down in August for my birthday, or we're going to head down with you, Dan, at Christmas time.
Or both.
We're not sure what we're doing yet, but that's what the – it's going to be one or the other.
Always, I mean, leave option C open, both.
Well, me and you would
right.
be option C for a little quick one.
There you go.
But, I can't wait to see the new ride, and I pray that they do something, because if we do, we should do I plan on doing a show eventually where we rate the rides, where it would, including the queue – overall, what's the best ride? And this would have to be, you'd have to take points away for the queue on Soarin'. It's probably the best ride with the worst queue.
Absolutely. I mean, the queue is lacking for any type of imagination at all. I mean, you know, we spoke about the little diversion movies they used to play, but even those got old after a while. And, you know, with all that room and all that wall space, you know, they certainly could do something to you know, distract you as you're in that queue.
I would even like to see them see now Disney, if you're a marketing genius like I am. No, but you know, Disney has Adventures by Disney, and you know how big that is throughout the entire world. I know you guys have seen some videos or something on Adventures by Disney, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's part of Vacation Club. Not part of Vacation Club, but the two, they promote Adventures by Disney.
You probably get stuff in the mail for Adventures by Disney. Exactly. So what I would do if I was them, if they want to keep the queue kind of the same, I'd hang a bunch of flat screens throughout the entire queue up high. And how about you did Adventure by Disney, all the different trips, be it your Soarin' around the world? Maybe they show you the trips and maybe do little mini views. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing Australia or Ireland or Italy, or at least movies of different countries while I'm in there. Would you guys?
Yeah, that would be really cool. Yeah, it'd be a nice change. I know the queue in California is a lot more interesting from what I've heard out there. That it's like you're waiting in line at a aircraft hangar, and there's just different types of aircraft that you get to look at while you're in line. So
yeah,
exactly, because they built that specifically for Soarin'. Here they had to retrofit it into where food rocks and all. That's all they had. They didn't have much room over there.
Yeah, I've been on that one out in California a couple of times, and you're right, John. It actually is an airplane hangar, the building, and it's a multi-story building. And, you have all kinds of props and stuff from, flight and all stuff like that. So it's a lot more, not interactive per se, but it's certainly more interesting than the Florida version.
It looks like a normal queue instead of just a hallway.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because that's a long hallway. But I think that would be good if they did. I wouldn't mind seeing, because Adventures by Disney probably has 30, 40 destinations, and they change every year. So maybe at least you advertise that. I think it would help. And, I mean, it would fit in because it's around the world.
Like you said, Doug, before, even I'd rather, you know, see Stacy up there or something, anything, you know, just to keep your mind occupied while you're staring at that concrete.
It's so cool hearing the ambient sounds of Living with the Land. Will you stay on the phone with me all day, John?
I turn it on and just wander around. Yeah, sure.
There you go. So after all that, you did go see you did get to see the new Pixar movie today, correct?
Yeah, I'm out here with my
or the new show, not the new Pixar movie, but the new show in the old Honey I Shrunk the Audience theater. I'm not even going to call it the Michael Jackson theater.
The Magic Eye theater.
Okay.
Magic Eye. We're out here, me and my wife Lisa are out here with my nephew Tom and his girlfriend, and I walked over with them in the morning, got them on test track. And then me and Lisa walked over to the Magic Eye Theater and saw the three. It's three Pixar or two Pixar and one Disney short films, and they actually do use some of the effects from the theater. I was wondering that, you know, because I thought these were just going to be short, so I thought maybe they're just going to use it as a theater. But no, they use the 3D, and they use actually a little bit of the water spritzing and the floor shaking and stuff. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, the first one, there's three of them. The first one is called Get a Horse. The second one is La Luna. And then the third was Birds. And the first one actually looks like it was made specifically for that theater. And it really, I mean, it starts out as a classic, what you would think is just a classic Mickey Mouse cartoon. And then it just kind of takes a sharp-hand turn and becomes a three-dimensional, really, adventure. And it was really quite enjoyable. So.
And how long about was each film?
The first one was probably 10 minutes, and then the other ones were probably 6 or 7.
So. That's awesome. That's a pretty long ride, then.
Yeah, yeah, it's a pretty long attraction. The little film, when you're in the waiting area, they show you a little bit about Walt Disney talking about his shorts, and then they have a nice long section about John Lasseter and him talking about Pixar and the lamp, and you know how Pixar originally started their whole production company with short films and stuff. So that was interesting too. And then to actually see the movies after that were they were all really, really enjoyable.
John, were a lot of people partaking in this, or was it fairly empty in there?
Well, on that big rush over there, no. I think there was about 7 people in the theater this morning. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people may not know about it. Is it on the park map, or is it just kind of, this is so new, it's not even on there?
Yeah, it's on the park map, but, you know, I mean, everybody ran over to Test Track this morning. We did it at 9:30, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I imagine by now there's probably a sizable crowd in there, but that's, like you guys know, it's a pretty sizable auditorium, so I don't think you'd ever have to wait more than one show. And they actually have a fast pass for it, but I don't really see that necessary. So,
no, that sounds really good. I'm looking forward to it. Is it better than Captain EO?
Yes. Yeah, it's better than Captain EO. Yeah. Actually, I enjoyed it more than Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. So.
Well, that's really good, because I used to love that ride. I remember I used to love taking family on that. The only thing that got me is I'd rather fight a grizzly bear than pick up a gardener snake. So the snake used to get me on that ride quite a bit.
Yeah.
No snake. But
well,
yeah.
John, not to interrupt you, but we got to get I'll get it in while I'm thinking of it. So give us our weather report, please.
It was a bright and chilly 48 degrees when we left the house this morning. It's warmed up to about 68 right now. So about a hot. It's probably going to be close to 80 today. So
I'm jealous, but it's not. I'm living vicariously through you. I can feel that heat.
There you go.
So what's the plans for the rest of the day? Where are you headed next?
Let's see. I got them two riding Living Seas and Journey into Imagination, and then we probably will go over and do Spaceship Earth and maybe the non-spinning version of Mission Space, and then we'll be heading out to the best place in the entire world, over to World Showcase. So.
You guys spending the whole day there today? You staying late? You're going to see Illuminations, or are you headed home?
You know, we'll probably be heading home. I got to get my son to school tomorrow morning, so we'll probably leave before Illuminations. But I'm going to try to talk them into my nephew and his girlfriend to stay in for Illuminations and stuff. Get there. They actually had to buy a one-day ticket. No park hopper. So. Now, if they had a park hopper, Doug, we'd be able to go over to Hollywood Studios and ride something. But, you know.
Exactly.
Now, was that over $100, John, for the one-day ticket?
It was $105 apiece.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
so
a shame, man.
I'm gonna try to make sure that they get their, you know, and unfortunately for them, Soarin's closed. So
try to get as much value out of that $105 that you can. You're doing your best to do that. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm gonna tell them that, you know, really to get your value out of this, they're gonna be tired at the end of the day, but you really need to stay, watch the Illuminations before you go, and make it really worth your value. You know what I mean? So.
Absolutely. Now, where's your nephew from?
He grew up in Orlando with right beside us, but he's moved to Tennessee. He's been up there for the last 10 or 15 years. So.
Okay, so he didn't even get the Florida resident discount.
No, he's a Tennessee volunteer. So.
That's a shame. It's a shame you don't still have some mail going to his parents' house or
exactly.
Somebody's house in Florida where you could have got that Florida discount.
Yeah. So when we got here this morning, the half marathon, the Princess Half Marathon, was just finishing. So we had to dodge all of the all of the runners on the way into the park this morning. So,
which way were they headed?
Well, they actually had them coming into Epcot. They have them coming through the one of the back ways into Epcot. They run right through, you know, where the Penn Station is. They run both sides of that, and then out. I think they went all the way out to World Showcase and around World Showcase, and then came back and ran all the way back through to the parking lot. And the parking lot was where the finish was.
And oh, okay.
So, yeah, by the time they were walking past us and running past us, they looked beat.
I'm tired just hearing you say what they
my
did.
Goodness. Yeah, it was interesting because I always thought they made sure to have everybody finished by the time the park opened, and no, we were here at 9, and there were still hundreds of people passing, and so they had to, it was like I don't know how to describe it. It was a weird funnel crosswalk situation where you had to, they had to divert runners for you to be able to cross to get over to the test track or to get over to, over here to the land. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that was weird.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet those were the stragglers, if you will, because
that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, because I know that Disney tries their best not to have, they don't want anything interfering with their guests coming into the theme parks. They try to do all those Run Disney events, you know, after hours or off hours, if you will. So maybe they just didn't judge it quite right, and it overlapped a little bit. But I would think that. Disney definitely wouldn't want that to become the norm, that you're dodging runners coming into the theme park.
Yeah, that's what I always thought, and this was the first time. I mean, we've been out here a couple of times. I think even one year we actually came out on the whole marathon day, and there was by the time we, you know, were into the park, there was nobody here. But yeah, they were probably still running at 9:30. They were still running through the park, so.
Maybe something happened and they got off to a late start, or, you know, something you're not aware of. Who knows?
Yeah. So,
no, it would be me, you, and Den, John. We'd all have a beer solo in our hand, and we'd be the ones straggling.
Oh,
it's the Doug Dennis and it's the Bangers Mash and Bass of the world that was holding up that marathon today.
I'd never get to the parking lot. I'd get over to World Showcase and stop. So,
right.
Yeah, I'd have my feet up at the. At the Spice Road tables and watching everybody run by.
Yeah, exactly.
But could you imagine, you know, God forbid, if one of the runners tripped or fell on a carriage with a kid on it, you know, you could just think of all the crazy stuff that could happen that would, you know, be, you know, liability for Disney, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, trip over a stroller.
Yeah, anything like that. I mean, that's why I say that sounds odd that, you know, that situation is exists today with the race that happened.
Well, are they clear of the park now, Johnny, at least?
Yeah. Last time when we were back outside, I think they were all gone, all done. So,
but this way you don't feel bad about yourself when you grab a pretzel and a beer and they're running and they're exercising and you're walking around.
Like I'd feel bad about myself anyway. Come on.
You're over that.
Yeah.
So what looks good over at Sunshine Seasons?
I don't know. Something's smelling awful good. I think we've had the Mongolian stir fry here before, so it might be that. But let's see. On the grill, they have the oak-fired rotisserie chicken, the grilled salmon, slow-roasted pork chop. So.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, might be one of those, or it could be the ginger Mongolian beef. So. Mm.
And what kind of salmon is it today? Because their salmon there is good. I think that's the only place in the world that I'll get counter service salmon.
a gas station, right, Doug?
No gas station, Doug.
Yeah, it just says grilled salmon, and it looks like it's on top of a bed of green beans, or maybe it's asparagus. I don't know. I can't really tell from the picture, but yeah, that looks pretty good too. So,
what's the price on that, John?
Let's see. All right, I'll walk in there and we'll get you some prices. We'll give you a live report here. So,
yeah, what's the price on the grilled salmon now, so I know what to put in my budget for my next trip?
All right, give me a second. I'll walk over here.
It's just so we should be with you, John. This is just not fair.
I'm trying to share it a little bit, you know.
Are people looking at you weird, John? Like, what's this guy doing talking to himself?
I'm talking to myself, and I got my flashing sign on. So, you know, hey, it's all good.
That's too funny.
Let's see. Yeah. The oak-grilled salmon with green beans, $12.49.
That's not too bad for a piece of salmon.
Yeah, for lunch, not bad at all.
I mean, I pay $5, $6 a piece at my local fishmonger.
Oak grilled rotisserie chicken with black beans and yellow rice, $12.29. Pork chop with mashed potatoes, barbecue sauce, and corn on the cob, $12.99.
That's not bad either.
No, I've heard really good reports on that pork chop, so I might give that a shot. So.
Well, I like the mashed potatoes because that'll fill you up throughout the day.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. So.
Now, is it wild salmon or farm-raised, does it say?
That one I don't know.
All right. Doug needs to know that.
Yeah. I think it's Epcot-raised.
Yeah, that probably is. Actually.
It probably is. Well, not probably. It's from that pavilion. I would guarantee it's from up there living with the land.
Well, then it's farm-raised, so you can't have it. You're better off eating the pork chop.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still going to try it then. Don't tell anybody.
All right.
So you're headed out of here. You're going to eat lunch here then real quick?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've sat around here long enough for my stomach to start rumbling, so I think we might have to hit us some lunch here. So.
Did they meet you back there yet, your family?
No, they're still wandering around, so hopefully they're over in Journey into Imagination, so I sent them that way. So.
Yeah, that would have been a fun ride to hear you on.
Well, it's not like we won't be out here again. So.
Yeah, we'd have heard the music. We should have got you on Living with the Land so you could have told him to bring back the skipper.
I tried telling my nephew and her how much better the ride was when they did have skippers. So.
Yeah, I heard on another show, I forget what show it was, I was shocked that half the guests liked the skippers and the other half didn't.
That was the Mickey dudes. Yep.
Yeah. I don't get how you wouldn't prefer the skipper.
Yeah, and I thought Carmen also said she prefers it without the skipper. I thought she said that on her vlog. Maybe I'm misremembering that wrong.
Well, I'm sure she's going to listen to this and she will let us know.
Yeah, Carmen weigh in on this, but I'm pretty sure you said you preferred it without, or the new spiel, I guess you were saying, as I recall.
Yeah, see, my wife's boycotting it until they bring the skippers back. She won't even ride it. So.
Oh, wow.
No. Well, the thing of it was is it's like the Jungle Cruise. I mean, not as fun. It wasn't no jokes or whatever, but at least every time you went on, it was a different experience. But you'd have one skipper that was more chatty than another. You would get more information, in my opinion.
Yeah,
absolutely.
More in line with the great movie ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, that could make or break your experience there. And I think, you know, less so on Living with the Land, but you're right, Doug. Some of them would be more forthcoming with, you know, information about the plants and different things. And, you know.
Even when you would see the scientists in the back, like, working on different things back there, they would tell you more about what was going on inside that room instead of the spiel that tells you the same thing every time. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know. You can record it once and never have to go on it again if you videotaped it.
Right, right.
You bring it home with yourself and you would have, I mean, it's just, I love the ride, but I just wish that they'd bring back the skippers.
Well, Dennis, so. I'm sitting here and I'm staring at the Garden Grill restaurant and you said you can't barely tell it's spinning. I don't even know if it is spinning. If it's spinning, it goes so very slow.
Oh, it's super slow. Yeah, it's like watching paint dry. You really can't even tell.
Yeah,
I think it goes like 1 mile an hour.
I don't even know if it's doing that. I mean, so it's I can't even really tell if it is spinning, to tell you the truth. So I don't know. Maybe they locked it in place. So, yeah, it's not spinning at all from what I can tell. So.
Nah, it barely moves because I know when you ride by it in the land, you could barely see it
move.
Yeah,
So.
Well, Johnny, we'll let you go back and play with your family. We really appreciate you checking in and giving us a little heads up. And then on next week's show, we'll – you can give us a review of the salmon or the pork chop or whatever else you ate.
All right. Sounds good. And I want to let you know in 2 weeks we'll be back out here, and we're going to be out here for the first full weekend of the Flower and Garden Festival. And
awesome.
So that week there should be gobs and gobs and gobs of pictures going up on Facebook because I'll be probably taking a picture of every topiary I can find. So, and the food, too. So.
All right. We'll have to get you – give us another update, see if you see anything else going on with Soren when you're back there then. You could maybe we'll get you to interview a cast member or two.
All right. And if you want, call me on a ride, and you can hear the ambient sound of some of the rides.
All right. Well, maybe we'll set that up on your next trip. We'll interview you as you're riding through Spaceship Earth or something.
Okay. Sounds good.
It's a grand and miraculous. The only problem is we're all going to have to burn something in here,
right.
In the house, so we get the feel of Rome burning.
Yeah, well, you just won't feel the same without that smell. So.
Yeah, you got to have that soot smell. It's the only time I ever like to smell something burning when you're in Spaceship Earth. But you guys have a great day, John. Thanks again for checking in, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Be good, John.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.